This period of study of God's word, and particularly the preaching of it, we honor God's word. This is why we hold it so sacred. It is the inspired word of God. It is given by the very breath of God. It is given for us that we might understand what his will is and that we might follow it. In particular, this section of the New Testament is often where we begin when we're starting New Testament readings. And we've been reading through the New Testament as our goal for this 30 days. And so it's important for us to spend some time in this section of the passages of scripture that you may consider kind of familiar. The book of Matthew is one that we study often as children, and we study it from the standpoint that God is telling us the life of Christ in a condensed form. Remember, the Gospels don't have all of the events that surround Jesus' life, but the emphasis is upon the good news, the gospel, literally, that it is showing us a message of Christ to a dying and hurting world. Amen? And we certainly know that that's relevant because this world has a message. And wise are we to build like the wise builder. And so the title of this sermon is The Wise Builder. We sing one of my favorite songs during children's Bible time or during VBSs, and that is The Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rock. And we make these gestures with our hands, the wise man built his house upon the rock. And we use these words to inspire young people to think about beginning and establishing their belief in God and building their lives upon the rock, which is the foundation of Christ. But we're not children, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 tells us that when we know in part and prophesy in part, but when that which is in part is done away, with that which is perfect shall come. We have the complete revelation of Christ. And so we are to go on, as Paul continues there, to look not as in a mirror darkly or as children, but to understand. We are a people of God that must follow after him. And we have choices, amen? Jesus puts before the people here, in this great Sermon on the Mount, two choices. Two foundations, if you will, and upon which he, as the great builder, is establishing how to build. The sand is not a choice. It is a result of. The foundation, the rock, is not a choice. It is a result of. If a builder builds upon this place, there is a high likelihood that it is not going to be well established because of its foundation. If the builder builds in this way. And so in like pattern, he uses these metaphors and analogies to help us understand better what he's trying to tell us. First, we need to know that this is not about a house. It's about the heart. That is the analogy that he is making. If you build your heart's life of constructing it based on these two things, either obey God or disobey him, understand the consequences of the choice. There is but two doors or two ways that we might enter into life, a broad way and a narrow way. We can follow Christ or we can follow after self. We can follow after the world or we can follow after the instruction of God. That's put before us how we are to build. And so Jesus then helps them to understand these incredible, beautiful truths in a way that they can relate to. So thinking of these two things, when we see that there are before us choices that we must make, and an instruction that comes along with those choices. The instruction of God tells us, obey him, follow that narrow way, be wise, be also stealthy. Think about with a challenge, with a seriousness, with a soberness, because there is a narrow way and a difficult one, straight, to enter into that we might enter into life. And entering into that way, we have some choices. We can build in our lives on the things that are wise and the things that are sober and the things that will establish who we are, or we can build on other choices. And certainly today in our lives, we have other choices, amen? You can build your life on politics. You can build your life on your business or company or corporation. You can build your life on athletics. You can build your life on your physical attractiveness or beauty, where you live, your house, your home. All those material things are crying out to us and say, build based on me. But the wise one will build based on the foundational principles, which is Christ. There is a pattern that we have in the Old Testament of these choices and how they directed a person's life. If you are to give something so precious as your heart, mind, and soul, and you're going to invest that precious thing, where would you want to invest it? Let me read from Hosea chapter 4 for just a minute. In the Old Testament, this prophet writes, hear the word of the Lord. This is chapter 4, verse 1. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. There's a choice, he says, before God's people. You can follow after the land in which you live. But he says there's a substance there. He says there is no truth, and that is implied by the inhabitants. How they live, how they think, how they make decisions. And when we look at our society, look around you and think, there is no truth. Because every man does what is right in his own eyes. What pleases me is the only possible conclusion. As long as I'm happy, I'm fine. And so I'm going to guide my life then based on society. Well, I'm going to be a pretty much lawful person. I'm going to be a good citizen, which just means I'm either working or going to school. You're a good citizen. It's such an empty and basic level of existence. But he goes on here, the prophet Hosea does, in verse 2, by swearing, this is in the land, lying, this is in the land, killing, this is in the land, stealing, this is in the land, and committing adultery. They break out. And blood toucheth blood. He says all of these elements are places where you can build. You can build your heart's hopes and dreams and desires, the generation coming after you, your children's hopes and dreams and desires on what you see. Or, verse 3, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, and the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. There's a different choice. You've got all these choices, and here's the circumstances under which you will find yourself. But as people of God, you can make a different choice. You can follow after the instruction of God represented here by the priests, because they brought forth that knowledge. Verse 5. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. Where's the knowledge that they're lacking? The knowledge from the peace, not from the world. He says, there's plenty of things out there for you to follow, amen. We might say today, there's plenty of churches for you to go to today. But understand, some are not going to be a foundation upon you're going to build wisely. Be wise in the way that you build. Strive not after those things that are empty and fruitless, that bring the heart pain and sorrow and grief. Be a people who are not destroyed of heart. He says, because they hath rejected knowledge, I also have rejected thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God and also forgotten thy children. Pause there. Now think about what Jesus is saying here. He begins in verse 21. Let's begin there in Matthew 7. Hold your place there in Hosea. We'll come back briefly. Just wanted you to see that illustration. But I want you to know, Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, this is Jesus speaking, it's in red letters. That's not always the authority and determination, but in particular here, they got it right. Jesus is speaking to the people and saying, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. They knew and recognized him enough to call him Lord. Amen. That is master, great teacher, the one who directs, the one in authority. They knew this man was from God. They just didn't understand yet who he was. Amen. They saw the miracles. They saw the signs. They saw those who were healed. They saw those who were even brought back from the dead, but they wondered, who is this man? How can he just speak and the great storm that we think we're going to be flooding our boat and drown, the very ones that are closest to him, they say, who is this man who can speak and the earth obeys? The waters go from the craziest, most horrible storm to perfect stillness. There is one, and he explains, by which we follow and enter into the kingdom of heaven. The heart that is built upon a solid foundation has the opportunity to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's it. But there's a foundation then that is implied that leads elsewhere. Amen. It leads to emptiness. It leads to utter darkness. It leads to those who will cast out. Why? Because not everyone that calls on me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. The implication is the broad way, wide gate, it enters to another place, not the kingdom of heaven, not closeness with God, not that relationship that I want the people to have. So there is two choices. There's also two seasons. Verse 22, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? There's a season that fits. And what I mean by that is the fitting season is the one that says everything is going good. Why mess it up? Amen. I'm just going with the flow and things are okay. I don't want to upset. Things are just fine. I know they could be better, but they're just fine now. And I'm happy. I'm happy right where I am. And so many are the condition of their religious relationship with God is, I'm happy where I am. You ask, would you like to study the Bible? No, I'm good. I'm happy where I am. And in the season of their life, what they're saying is, there has not been enough grief. There has not been enough pain. There has not been significant loss. I haven't suffered significant shame yet to really cause me to change the course of my thoughts or my actions. So I'll just be fine where I am. Because for the most part, I have become unscathed. Yes, bad things happen and have happened to me. Look at the politics. Look at the economy. Look at the culture and traditions that we see in our world and see that people are, for the most part, going with the flow. They just don't want to rock the boat. It's just easier to stay with the flow, not make waves. But the people of God, by destiny, by design, he says, verse 23, I declare to them, I never knew you. There's a season coming when I'm going to call for God. There is a season of my life coming when I am going to need God, and so are you. That's just the reality. I don't wish any evil or bad on you, friends, brethren, family. I don't wish you to suffer anything. I just know this life brings suffering. We have optimism and hopefulness for the beginning of the year, but we just don't know what may happen in just a few months. Remember, 2020 started out just about like this. And yet just a few months, no one knew what the future lay hold. How can we know? But we can establish this. If I'm in the right relationship with the builder, I'm going to build in a way that he does. I'm going to follow a certain plan. I, you, me, everyone must be workers of good, not what he says. Depart from me, ye workers of lawlessness. There's a season of lawlessness when people seem to only have bad or evil intentions. They're only looking out for selfish with selfish motives. We see it. Sometimes you can just breathe it in. You can feel that the things around you are just not going to go well. We call it a spidey sense. We call it, you know, your hairs on the back of your neck curl up. Sometimes it happens, but I want you to know this, the devil is smooth. And if he knows that's the warning, he's going to make sure you are either distracted or you're deciding to go somewhere else. So the very thing that God gives us, the instruction that is the warning, we ignore it. Because we say, with this comes another promotion. This is the thing I've been waiting for. to go off and to move in this different area or live in this different place. And everything seems like I have the whole world right here in the palm of my hands. That's what Lot thought. When Abraham gave him a choice and said, your people choose to go this way or that way. And you got two choices. You got a land that looks so green and lush. It's just rolling hills. I know you're my uncle. I know you brought me out of that place that was not good, that was not prosperous. But you know what I'm going to think about? Not what's good for you as my elder. Not what's good for you as the one who provided. Not what's good for lawfulness. I'm going to throw my lot over here. Because you know what? That land just looks so much better. In the end, I'm going to come out ahead of you, Abraham. But he cast his lot towards Sodom. He didn't know that what was green on one side was empty and filthy just underneath the surface. That's what the wisdom of the world gives us. That's that foundation that Jesus wants them not to build upon. Verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a man, a wise man, who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. Jesus is that warning to tell us that there's something coming that you're not expecting. I love during the pandemic, Rick Mitchell, that guy made him an outdoor gazebo, an outdoor pit, and that was the nicest thing to watch him do weather forecasts in this beautiful outdoor place, because during the pandemic you wanted to be outside. They weren't in the studio, and it just really amazed me and Rose. Every day it seemed like he had a new grill, he had something new. I'm like, man, I want to be a weatherman. Rick Mitchell, what are you doing? And he thought, well, I'm going to tell you about the weather, and you're going to see the circumstances, and things look better than they are. Because the reality is, those things were borrowed, not owned. Those things appeared to give value, but they really were empty. And he says to hear these words. That is the same word in the Greek, logos. It is the contained word. It is the thing that which is spoken, a word being uttered. We use it in the full contained sense for the word of God, the logos, the contained element of those 66 books, a place of wisdom, not a place of empty talk. There's a season for serious things. Amen. I want to talk about things that are important and crucial to where I'm going in this life. How can I build upon myself a better foundation of character? A better foundation of kindness and courtesy and love toward other people. How can I change the substance of who I am? I need to put something in there of great value. The weather is nice. The news is nice. The new YouTube video to teach you how to change a light bulb, that's nice. But it only has a little bit of value. This word has true value because it changes the decisions that I will make now and, Lord willing, in the future. This is where we stand. This is where we begin to learn how to build. So not only you have two choices, two seasons, but you have two ways of construction. He says, if you build in this way upon the house and the rains fall, there's a weather forecast, and the floods come, there's another one, and the winds blow. He's not talking about just a few breezes. He's not talking about the rain is there in the morning and it's dry in the afternoon. He's talking about a deluge. He's talking about hurricane force winds. He's talking about floods that wipe out whole cities. Those things that hit our lives unexpectedly, that just totally upset who we are, that are unexpected. You can handle those things if you construct your life in such a way that they're built on righteousness. Look at Colossians chapter 3 for just a minute. Where am I going to find these things on which to build? Where am I going to find, among all of the things that Hosea mentioned, the adultery, the lying, the stealing, the cheating, is there another place? Is there another city? Is there another neighborhood in which I can live spiritually? And Jesus says it this way, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, first, You have to decide how you're going to construct your life and where. I think realtors say the best decision you can make is not what house you choose, but where it is. That's an important decision. Where am I going to build or where am I going to buy? Because I can do a lot of things to the house, but I can't uplift it, uproot it, and put it somewhere else. Once I've started building and investing, I'm set in that decision. So he says, construct your life in such a way that it is built on heavenly things. Seek those things which are above. Everyone has something and some instructions to tell you how to be a builder, but your construction ought to be based on the house that God built. I'm showing you how to design something that will not be easily disturbed. That's what the sand represented in the Greek. It's easily unsettled. It's sound one day, but the next day it is toppled over and crumbled and destroyed. He says, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Why do you sit on the right hand of God? Second in the Godhead, the one who came to earth, the one who is preaching here on the day, on the Sermon on the Mount. It's because I'm God in the flesh. It's because I'm going to give you this instruction to build your spiritual heart on something that is sound. It is sound, not just because you say, man, that house has been there 20 years. Right? When I was a kid, that house was there. Now it's still there. No, we're talking about an eternal home built in the heavens. He says, I go away to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would not have told you. In my Father's house, or what? Many mansions, many rooms, literally. You can designate, prepare, reserve a place for yourself in this heavenly construction built on heavenly places in the perfect location, but you're going to have to seek heavenly things. You're not going to find those things in your neighborhood. You're only going to find them by knowing how to build, how this construction is set forth for you. It's set forth for you because you are a wise builder. It's because you are a person that wants to follow after things spiritual and not the things holy. Pause. Let me just read for this. You'll have to turn back to it. Hebrews, Hosea 4. He said, after he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. They didn't know how, or unless they chose a different construction. I will also reject thee that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, and will also forget thy children, or I will also forget thy children, excuse me, as they were increased, so they sinned against me, therefore will I change their glory into shame. He says you have the instruction plans, you had the blueprints, and you decided to throw those away. Because the guy over here said you can do it cheaper, it'll be nicer, it'll look better. And then you found out I should have read the blueprints I had. Because that guy didn't care. Because he's the guy when it broke down, you got to call him to go fix it. He has self-interest in heart. You know who he is? It's the devil. It's the devil. He is selfish. He has self-interest in leading you to make decision to have a construction of your life around what suits him, but he makes it appear like it was your decision. Because in the end, whose fault is it if I disobey God? Who is blamed here when he says, or who is laid at the conclusion of this? He says, my people are destroyed because they chose to forget the plans, which is the law. How do I construct my heart spiritually? I need the law of God. I cannot figure out a way on my own to build my way to heaven. Amen. When I was little, you'd see these movies or you hear these stories about the stairway to heaven. And in a kid's mind, the kid's knowledge, you think about, man, how long would those stairs have to be? and wouldn't I get scared as I went up to the high and I'm looking down to the clouds? Where am I going? You know, kids are so literal like that. But what's beautiful is that's not just a dream. That's not a fantasy. That's not a wish. That's a reality when Jesus says, I go and have prepared. He said that to the apostles, but now he has ascended in heaven. The place is prepared. I just need to know the right construction, and the construction plans are the gospel of Jesus Christ. I need to know how to build my house on spiritual things. These options that he lays before the people of God. Verse 9, the last verse in Hosea 4. verse 9. There and there shall be, like people, like priests, I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit idolatry, whoredom in the King James, and shall not increase because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Well, see, it doesn't say this with glee. He's not smiling. He's not happy about it. He just says, here is the result of how you constructed your house, how you built. Let's keep reading quickly, and the sermon will be yours. Verse 26, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. That word literally, the sand, is that unstable, easily unsettled, easily disturbed. Here he's not talking about the physical, right? This is an analogy. It's a metaphor for the teachings of me. But here's the result. We saw the literal. Let's see it figuratively. Let's see it, the metaphor of it. There is a rain that's coming. It's a destruction. It fell and the floods came. It's going to be an utter destruction. The winds blew. There's not going to be a place to anchor yourself to get back. There's not going to be a second chance. There's not going to be a repeat or a do-over. He said, blew and beat against the house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Verse 28. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. The reason that he had the right construction, the right plans, is because he's the one who designed it. He's a great designer. You see that? Brethren, our lives are empty, unfulfilled, when we look at the scripture and we simply ignore how it applies to me. You can have the right heart. Oh, for people who want the right heart and have the right heart. And I believe, I know this, that God sees our hearts. He saw your heart. And he says, I'm going to give you and I the opportunity to see the truth. Because your heart is good. That's why you're here this morning. You may not be fully aware. You and I may not completely understand all that God is leading us to, but we know we're in the right place. We're in our right mind. And this is the right time to build on the foundation of Christ and his word. There is no other. There's no other foundation that leads to this. So be a wise builder. It's our choice. But Jesus warns us the time is coming when the rains will come and the floods will grow up and the winds will blow, and we won't have an opportunity. The choice will be taken away. On that great and terrible day, we'll stand before God, and he will know. He won't be asking. He will know. That's why it's terrible. He will know if I was a wise builder or if I built foolishly. Now I have the choice. Now this is more than just a children's story or a children's song. This is the way I live, amen? This is the way I choose. Two decisions lay before us, two seasons, two foundations, two ways of constructions. Which one will we choose? It's up to you, and it's up to God. God has already done his part. He sent the Savior to die. He's made the way so that all of the bad decisions I've made, they can be healed. They can be cleansed. I can start over and be a wise builder and construct my life according to the pattern which is Christ. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head, the chief cornerstone. And I know how to build my spiritual house on him. I understand by faith. He is in control, not me. And if I build with him, if I build the way he says, man, nothing can destroy this house. He promises me that. Nothing can destroy the house built upon God. That's us. Let's go to God in prayer. Great and all-wise Heavenly Father, thou art truly the wise and perfect planner of our lives. You lay before us your word, which is the design It is the pattern by which we can live holy lives. You are truly the blueprint. Help us, Lord, that we don't allow the temptations, the cares, the worries of this life, the anxiety and the stress, the pain of past decisions or present ones, the grief of loss, the sorrow of the suffering that we see around us. Don't let that change the way we build. Father, let us be wise builders. As godly people, let us choose godliness. Let us build our lives and thus change our community, change our cities, change our country in a way that we are holy before thee, not because of where we are, but because of who you are. Father, we know that we can build this foundation, which is obedience to your word, at any place, at any time. We're so thankful for the brethren around the globe that are wise builders. We're thankful for our brethren in Cameroon. We're thankful for our brethren in Phoenix. We're thankful for our brethren in Texas. We're thankful for our brethren in other places in Europe, in Asia, and even in the most remote places that your word has gone forth and not returned void. We are thankful, Father, that we get to see through your word by inspiration that evil will happen, that we will suffer because of the place in which we exist, but we don't have to live suffering lives. We can live in such a way that the light of your love shines brightly through us because you continue to build us according to the image of your Son. He suffered. He walked. He lived. He taught in a place of darkness, and yet he reflected your marvelous light, even to the giving of his very life upon the cross for us. And now he is that light that shines down from heaven. Help us, Father, that our minds be risen with him, that our minds be set upon the things above and not on the things of the earth. Mold us into thy image so that we are not destroyed for lack of knowledge, but that you find us sober, that you find us without spot and without blemish, a faithful and obedient people. Father, forgive us, because it's so easy in this life to become overwhelmed, to become distracted. The pain and the grief of this existence can be so foreboding. It can be so dark. But thanks be to you that you show us a light of hope that we can have a better life. Things can get better. Things will be better the more we put our heart and our trust in thee and not in ourselves. We ask that you please be with us. Please grant unto us your love, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Please, this morning, whatever you need, please come as we stand, as we sing.